Today has been a day in which our country has honored the 10th anniversary of the tragic terrorist attacks on our country. No doubt many of you have followed on TV the memorial services from New York and Washington and Pennsylvania. Perhaps this is an event that, for those of us that were alive, will live as a day that we will remember where we were when we first heard the news. And to some extent, I think it's fitting that we're here in church together, that this anniversary occurs on a Sunday, because we know that on that day and on the following days, many Americans went to church. We found ourselves together in prayer. I am one that will also never forget where I was on that day. I was in Washington, D.C. I was there as a software engineer doing some training with my group from Sprint. We had finished a wonderful Monday, and we're really coming in on Tuesday to get settled and get going. And remember, along with some of my other teammates, we just kind of casually checked the websites of the news, and I remember reading that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. And I remember thinking of, knowing a little bit about aviation, that sounds like probably a small sightseeing plane who lost track of where he was at and, you know, ran into the side of the building. I really didn't expect there even to be any damage to the building, with the World Trade Center being so huge. But then, quickly as class began, my website refreshed, and I saw this huge hole in the side of the World Trade Center tower. And I remember thinking, that doesn't look like a small plane that hit there. But it was time for class to start, and I was kind of wondering how that story would develop. I wasn't particularly worried. But then I'll never forget, in the middle of class, my pager went off, and I kind of snuck a peek, and I looked, and it said simply, World Trade Center Tower collapses. And I thought, how is that even possible? I was trying to envision in my mind, and I thought at that time of like a tree falling over and thinking, how does that happen? And then it didn't take long before some other people got messages, and we decided we probably better stop class, and we just wanted to find a television to see what was really going on, because the internet had all stopped working. And I turned on the TV just in time to see the second tower collapse. And I remember just kind of the shock hitting me that that's what it means, that the Trade Center tower collapsed, and realizing that that was the second tower, and realizing that another plane had crashed, and it was very clear that it was no accident. And we were all just kind of shocked. It was a common kind of feeling. And I remember feeling just sad as I watched the tower collapse, knowing how many people must still be in there. But then our shock turned to a little bit of worry and anxiety as we got word that a plane had struck the Pentagon. Now, we were far enough away that I didn't necessarily feel that we were perhaps in any immediate danger of a plane hitting the building we were in, because it was of no significance. But I do remember wondering, how many planes are there? Are we under attack? Is all of Washington, D.C. about to be struck? And I, for a brief moment, was at least a little worried. Pretty soon, you know, I thought I'd give a quick call off to my parents, but the reality of the situation started to kind of set in as I realized there were no cell signals available at that time in Washington. Lots of people on their phones, I guess. And it eventually calmed down to the point where it was clear that, all right, the planes are now all accounted for, and four of them had struck and been destroyed. And I remember just thinking about the great loss of life on that day, fearing for the retaliation that I knew would be coming, wondering how many more people would die. And I had a long time to think about that, as I was supposed to be home that weekend. My sister was getting married that Saturday. I was supposed to fly home on a flight Friday evening after our training ended. But by Wednesday, it became very clear that Reagan National Airport was not going to reopen. Indeed, it didn't for weeks later. And so my teammates and I rented one of the last cars in Washington. We actually took the subway down to the airport. And I remember pulling through Pentagon Station in the subway on the metro, and the announcement being made, do not get off the subway at Pentagon unless you have a government top secret ID. And indeed, there were military people there with machine guns ready to accost anyone who did get off at the Pentagon. But we got our car and drove back from Washington to Kansas. And I had a lot of time to think during that time, wondering what the lasting impact of this day would be. It is a day that all of you, I'm sure, have your own stories of where you were and what you were doing. And on this 10th anniversary, I see all over the place the slogan that has been around since then, really, and reminds us to never forget. I was with the kids at Miege on Friday, and we watched a video that was simply entitled Never Forget, and it showed a lot of scenes from that day. But I wondered, and I asked the students, what do you think it is that we should never forget on this memorial? We remember, but what? What should we never forget? Well, certainly, we'll never forget the people that died. And while in Kansas, perhaps, the number of people that we knew that died that day might be small, of course, as Christians, we still pray for them. We know that, as St. Paul reminds us, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So we know that those people whose lives tragically ended that day, they're not lost. They're in God, and we can pray for them. So we never forget them. But as I thought more, and I looked at the kind of the coincidence of our readings today, our readings are all about forgiveness, not holding vengeance, not trying to seek retaliation. I thought it's kind of an interesting coincidence for this day that maybe there's at least one thing that God is asking us not to try to remember. And that would be any feelings of anger or hatred that so many of us, I think, were feeling on that day. With good reason, too. It's not that there were not things to be angry about. Certainly there were. But God kind of reminds us today that among the things we should never forget, let's not let anger and hatred be the lasting memory of that day. For indeed, that does not bring us happiness or peace or closure. Rather, God asks us to forgive. One plane, two planes, no, not even four planes, but to forgive everything that happened on that day. Allow God to bring healing. But I do think there are some things that we should never forget, that are worthy of being the lasting legacy of that day. First, I remember how much after that day, America began to pray. All over TV, the same people who maybe triumphantly were claiming the day before that we don't need God, or that even we're so important and our nation is so great and powerful that really God was just something that weak people made up as some imaginary thing. All of a sudden, all that was put aside, and almost by instinct, Americans knew we need to pray. We need God. And we went to church. Attendance at churches after 9/11 skyrocketed. We saw from the president all the way down to the most humble person on their knees, praying. There was a great sense of knowing that we are not in control, that we are not so self-sufficient and almighty as we thought. We knew that we needed God. And I pray that 10 years later, we have not forgotten that. In some ways, I think we have. Our attendance has dropped back to about what it was before 9/11 or even worse. Perhaps we've forgotten because we've lived without a major crisis like that. I pray that it doesn't take a crisis again to remind us and to never forget how much we need God. Secondly, I couldn't help but notice that as I listened to some of the voice recordings of the people who got a chance on those planes to maybe make a last phone call home or to write a few hurried words on a piece of paper before the planes crashed, if I look at what it was that they were thinking at that time, no one called their banker or their stockbroker. No one called to check on how their sports team had done. Without exception, almost, those last precious phone calls were to family members, loved ones, a spouse, to say simply, I love you. I don't think we're going to make it, but I want you to know I love you. and how much those people left behind, if they could say one thing more to their loved ones, they just wanted to tell them, I love you. On September 11th, I think those people especially, but really all of us, saw how fragile life is and how important our family members are. How important it is to tell people, our family and friends, that we love them. I pray that it does not take a crisis again to cause us to tell our loved ones, you're special, I love you. May we never forget how important our family members really are and how not important so many of those other material things are. Finally, the last thing that I think I wish we would never forget is that great sense of community that we had as a nation after this event. This crisis, as it does in any family, served to pull us together. United we stand was the great banner that we saw flying all over our country. Proudly, we came together as Americans. Before 9/11, perhaps we could be guilty of being a little bit selfish, a little bit individualistic, thinking that what matters is me. Me, myself, I, and the things that I want to do, and perhaps whatever people I have to use to accomplish my goal, well, it would be worthwhile. After 9/11, we saw the best of Americans, the best of human beings, really, as so many people sought to help their brothers and sisters. All around the country, people said, what can I do to help? And indeed, perhaps the most lasting images of that day of 9/11 were not so much the falling buildings, but the firefighters, the policemen, the EMTs, the first responders, all as most people would probably want to run from a disaster scene. There were so many people that as the buildings are crumbling, were racing to get in those buildings. They knew there were people in there, and we know that as the towers crumbled, those stairwells were full of firefighters, policemen, EMTs, Port Authority, trying to get people out. St. Paul reminds us in our second reading today of that unselfishness, of not living for ourselves, not even dying for ourselves. Indeed, we saw so many examples of the beauty and joy of what it can mean to selflessly lay down one's life for a friend, a brother, and on that day, even strangers. I pray that we will never forget that great joy, the great heroic sacrifices of those who were willing to put others above themselves, and that we would never forget the great sense of unity and community it brought to our country. And in the days following, the great sense of patriotism that caused so many young men and women to stand up, enlist in our armed forces, and say, I'm going to go protect our country. What we might have treated as cheaply, our freedom before, we knew had a price, and it was worth defending, and we were united indeed. These are the things that, much more important than where I was on that day, that I hope we remember. I hope we never forget the importance of God, how much we need God, that we might always remember the importance of our families, to tell them that we love them, and that we might always remain united as Americans, that we might bring out the best in us, that unselfish desire to lay down our life in service of others. These are the things that are worthy of remembering. Not anger and hatred and bitterness, but rather these special sacred things. These are things that indeed I hope we never forget.